We have some very special visitors here today. And before I introduce them, I want to talk about some of the other special visitors we have. We have little Brookie back with us from Lima. It's been a long time since she's been here. We've got Grace here after her bout with arthritis. We're praying that she does real well. We've got some visitors here from Tennessee. They're friends of our family. Robert and Allison came, brought little Miriam with them. We're glad to have them with us. We've got other visitors here. Glad to have you with us. But mostly today, we want to honor those men and women who have blessed our lives by protecting us and ensuring our freedoms as they have served in the armed forces. This is that weekend tomorrow when we moved them all to Mondays, but they used to be at the end of the month, but we honor our veterans who have served and blessed this country. So I'm going to do a little different this time. Last year, this congregation lost our last World War II vet. Jack Booth went home, and we miss him. But he flew 52 or 53 missions over Europe in World War II. Amazing. Do we have any Korean War veterans? Would you stand? Any Korean War veterans? All right. Do we have any Vietnam veterans? Remain standing. We got some more. We're Vietnam veterans. Anybody was in during Vietnam? Okay. Anyone in during Vietnam? Okay, all of you who were in the service during all of our Gulf Wars and all of our War on Terror, any service members there? Okay, and all of our service personnel, would you please stand? Amen. Thank you all so much for their service. We will always be in your debt. And it's tough to come home and have loved ones who didn't. This morning, our text is going to come from 2 Samuel, the last chapter of 1 Samuel, David's best friend and his worst enemy die in battle. They die honorably protecting the nation of Israel. David is distraught. And so he offers praise to these men and women. Before we begin, let's bow as we go to the Father in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the men and women who have given their lives to protect our freedoms. We thank you for those who have honorably served and have come back alive. We are so thankful for them as well. Father, we pray that you will help us live in a way that will honor their service and their memory. Help us to live before you in a way that glorifies your name. Father, this morning as we look into your word and let it look into our hearts, may we be changed by your word to become more the servants you want us to be. Father, we have loved ones going through different difficulties, both physical and emotional, as well as spiritual. Father, help us to have our hearts closer to you this day. Help us to uplift the fallen. Help us to strengthen the weak. Help us to bind up the broken. Help us to listen with our hearts. Help us to bless as only you can bless through us. In your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, 2 Samuel 1, all the first and seconds in your Bible are together, about a fourth of the way in. And the second one is 2 Samuel. So we'll start then. We're about a little over 1,000 years B.C. David becomes king about 1,010 B.C. So that's about the time that this happens. In 2 Samuel 1, we'll start in verse 17 through 19. David is praising those who have given their lives to protect Israel. He says, David took up this lament concerning King Saul and his son Jonathan in order that the men of Judah be taught this lament of the bow, written in the book of Jasher. On your glory, O Israel, lies slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen. He begins the praise there in verse 19. Now, as he honors those fallen, we have a tradition in America that on this day we honor the fallen, but that should not be limited just to this day. Hopefully we honor them with our lives as well as with our gratitude and our words all the days that we have each year. In America, over 1.3 million service personnel have given their lives in battle. Over a million in the Civil War and World War II combined. Over 600,000 and over 400,000 in those two conflicts. And a little over 0.3 million, over 300,000 in all the rest of the wars combined. Staggering. But they died to protect our freedoms. Do we owe them anything? We owe them everything. We are so blessed because of their service. Now, how can our words, how can our actions better honor their memory? You see, it's not just about saluting when the flag goes by. It's not just about showing respect to a veteran that you see in uniform or out of uniform. It's about living a life that makes them realize that their service was worth all the effort, all the sacrifice, because we lived in a way that honored what they did. If we live in a dishonorable way, that dishonors them for what they've done. So our words of thanks, when the soldiers came back from Vietnam, they almost had to sneak back into the country because of all the anti-war sentiment that was going on at the time. And we didn't say thank you. If you see especially a Vietnam veteran, you say thank you, thank you, thank you. You say thank you because they were not thanked as they should have been thanked. Now, David didn't want to publish the defeats. Notice what he says in verse 20 and 21. He says, tell it not in Gath, one of the five capital cities of the Philistines. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, another one of the five cities. Lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. On the mountain, O mountains of Gilboa, may you neither have neither dew nor rain, nor the fields that yield offerings the grain, for there the shield of the mighty one was defiled, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. He says, we lost that battle. Those men died in that battle. But he says, you don't tell other people about our defeats. Too often, we publish our bad news to the world. And he says, don't do that. Okay, it's important for us not to share our dirty laundry with the world. Are there problems in the church? Yeah, the world doesn't need to know that. Okay, because it's still the church that Christ purchased with his blood. Okay, after a year and 10 days, anybody think it stunk in Noah's Ark? Okay, you're in there with all those animals, a year and 10 days, talk about ammonia, okay? Talk about odoriferous, okay? Man, you could have used a lot of those nice little air fresheners. Speaking of which, next Saturday, there is a car wash over at Big Lots for to announce Vacation Bible School, and we're going to wash people's cars for free. And we're going to also give them a little air freshener. And the little air fresheners have our information about the church on them. So it'll make their car smell better, and hopefully invite them to come to Bible class, come to Vacation Bible School. But all that's on the little air freshener we're going to give away. So if you can come and be part of that, and if you could also help Beth Beckley, Jenny, who's going to help with Vacation Bible School, it would be wonderful if you could do that. We need more people to sign up to help with Vacation Bible School. But you don't, you, we have problems, but you don't air with the world the problems that we have. You tell them about the good things. You know, in my family history, I tell you about all the people did. I don't tell you about the horse thieves, okay? I don't tell you about the ones that messed up. You tell about people that did right. And you do the same thing in the church. You tell about what happened right. You don't tell. You don't air the dirty laundry. You don't air the problem. He says, don't tell it in Gath. Don't tell it in Ashdod. Don't let them know that we lost, because we're going to rise again. And they did. And so you share the good news. You don't share the bad news. Now, how can we better keep that from taking place? The best way to not share bad news is to share good news. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we grow. As we're busy telling people how amazing Jesus is and the kindnesses that people have shown to us and to others in the body of Christ, we don't have time to share the bad news, nor the inclination. And so we need to be filling our mouths and our lives with the good news to share rather than the negative. Now, David honored soldiers who loved him, and he honored soldiers who didn't. Look at verse 22-24. He says, from the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan in life were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. Okay? On three different occasions at least, Saul threw a spear and tried to pin David to the wall. He tried to get the Philistines to kill him. He promised him to give his daughter Merib in marriage and then took her away from him to dishonor him. When he found out his other daughter, younger daughter Michal, loved him, he tried to use that against him to get the Philistines to kill him. I mean, on so many occasions, he tried to destroy David. And David praises and honors him. Jonathan, on the other hand, he says, of those born of women, there's none greater than Jonathan. Okay? The love of Jonathan is greater than the love of women. I'm sorry, I mixed it up with John the Baptist in Matthew 11. But he says, that the love that he had with Jonathan, that friendship he had, was such a close bond. And you know that friendship's the closest bond, because Jesus says in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And so your friendship is your closest bond. And if you want to have a better marriage, make your wife your best friend, okay? But friendship is that closest bond. And so he says, my best friend, Jonathan, and if you read through your Bible, until you get to Jesus in the New Testament, you cannot find a better friend than Jonathan. Jonathan and David were friends. It says the soul of David and the soul of Jonathan were knit one to another. Okay, in 1 Samuel 18, Jonathan, the prince, gives his cloak, his robe, to David. Gives him his belt and his sword. Gives him his bow. Nobody, if you're an archer, you don't give your bow. You give somebody else's bow. He gave his bow to David. That's amazing. Okay, so here's his best friend, who on so many occasions encouraged David. David honors him. Well, that'd be obvious. Saul tries to kill him on a number of occasions. Gets 3,000 of the finest troops in Israel to chase David for months, trying to kill him. David honors them both equally, doesn't he? Now, we need to be honoring all the fallen, okay? Is there any room for political, any room for personal issues when you honor the fallen? Do we honor only the Democrat veterans, or only the Republican veterans, or do we honor all the veterans? Do we honor, we even honor veterans that root for Michigan. Sorry. Okay. We honor all the veterans. It doesn't make any difference. You honor them. You don't allow petty differences to get in the way of honoring. These men risked their lives. These women risked their lives so that you might be free. Now, how about a sense of personal debt He says, Saul clothed you in scarlet. Had we not the security in this country because of the work of our military, because of the sacrifice of our military, what would our lives be like? Whew. Would you be living in a house with central air and central heat and wall-to-wall carpet and, you know, all the things that we enjoy in this country? No, so much of the peace, so much of the prosperity, so much of the blessings that we have are all undergirded by the sacrifice of men and women who risked their lives so that we might be free. There are people who actively are trying to destroy us, even today. They have said that they want all of the infidel to be destroyed and the flag of Sharia law raised over this country. So we have a sense of personal debt that should hopefully motivate us to honor those who have risked their lives for us. Now, David honored a soldier with whom he was extremely close. Look at verses 25 through 27. He says, how the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very near to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman. How the mighty have fallen, the weapons of war have perished. Now, when you honor people that you are really close to, does it hurt? Yeah. I don't like to think about that. I don't like thinking about those that have gone on before. I don't think those that died in battle, those that didn't. My Uncle Avant came home from the war, World War II, with no toes. He was transported from one prison camp to another in railroad cars. And he took two turns on the outside so that the infirm would not die on the inside. It cost him his toes. My nephew came home from Iraq with 12 bullet holes in his right arm. If he didn't wear a flak jacket, he would not have come home. We have then those who died. Some of my classmates didn't come back. In 1970, I was number 139 on the draft list. They only took 133 that year. I didn't go. Okay? But I had loved ones, I had classmates who did. And some of them didn't come back. Some of them were part of the 57,000 and some who did not come back. Others of you had loved ones who were part of the over 58,000 that have died in Korea, and during the conflict, not as many, but since then, in the police action, there's still been over 58,000 that died in Korea. So, the bond of friendship, it hurts when you honor people you love. Okay, why is it good for us to honor loved ones, even though it brings us to tears? You get emotional when you honor people that have gone on because they saved you and they blessed your life? Yeah. Well, then I don't want to honor them because I don't want to cry. No. You need to honor them through the tears. David is honoring Jonathan even though he hates that he's gone. That is his best friend. That is his closest companion on earth. We need to honor those even though it hurts our hearts when we honor them. Who are you thinking about? There's people that you know and you love who didn't come back from the war, or who came back hurt, or who came back and continued to live here and eventually passed on. All of those, it hurts to think about. Now, we can learn from David on how to honor those who protected us. If you read the passage this morning in 2 Samuel 1, was the story of David honoring the fallen. But in Romans 15, verse 4, we find out, he says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Okay? "All things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That was written for us. All this stuff about David honoring those men, why would they put that in the Bible? Because they were to be honored and we're to learn from that. Now, what lessons do we need to learn from David's honoring speech? We need to be honoring the fallen. Have they blessed us with their service? Okay? Tomorrow, there's a parade going down Court Street here. And when they get done, they're going to go back in the back of the cemetery and honor the fallen. 8 years ago, on that day, I was convinced that Circleville was the place to live. The Grand Marshal of the parade that year, there were two of them. One of them had scaled the cliffs at Normandy. The other one had been at Guadalcanal. The parade, I never saw so many pickup loads full of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and softball teams and cars full of World War II vets, Korean vets, marching Vietnam vets, drum and bugle corps and bands. And I thought, this town's only got 13,000 people, and that half of them are in a parade. You know, I couldn't believe it. And then they all marched back into the cemetery, and I didn't even know there's a service center, so I just followed them back in the cemetery. I didn't know what I'd expect when I went back there. They had two bands back there, Logan Elm, Circleville, and the Grand Marshal got up, the speaker got up, Wiggins, Doyne Wiggins got up, and he spoke, and he said, "Any of my students here?" And about, I don't know, half the hands went up, about 400 hands went up that had him as their teacher when they were in school. And he got up and shared some wonderful stories about some of the heroes from Pickaway County that had served and that we were in their debt. And as soon as he gets done with his speak and Logan Elm band starts playing, three big old Black Hawk helicopters came over and buzzed us. I thought, this is cool. Okay? I thought that was amazing. We had it worked out ahead of time with Rick and Backer. They told us they were coming, so they didn't scare us too much. But the thought is, he honored the fallen. It's important that we choose to honor the fallen. You hold up your flag in a way that honors those. Oh yeah, you're allowed to dishonor the flag, but you're to live honorably. And Romans 13 tells us to honor the nation where we serve. Now, what can we do to honor those who've protected our freedoms? Yeah, we can go to the parades, and yeah, we can fly our flags out in front of our houses. But we need to thank them. Those who are still living, we thank them. Those who have lost loved ones, we thank them. We show them, and then we live in a way that lets them know that their dying was not in vain, that their serving was not in vain. We want to be a nation that they would feel blessed in, that they would be blessed by our service rather than, "Yeah, you know, I did all that, and now these guys are just doing horrible stuff." So let's live in a way that honors those who have given their lives. Now, how can we develop a sense of honor in our children and our young people? One of the reasons why we need to honor the fallen is we want our children to learn to honor the fallen. When the flag goes by, what do? Okay, take your hat off. You stand up. You don't sit down, you stand up. You show honor. We need to practice honor so that our children see it, because what they see in our lives is going to say so much more than what they hear from our lips. They need to see us honoring the fallen. They need to see us showing kindness to service personnel. I love, there's a little Facebook post of a young man who found a bag, and in the bag was a $20 bill. And he went into a restaurant, and there was a serviceman in there, and he wrote it in a little note and gave it to him. And he said, "My daddy died serving this country, and I wanted to give this to you." We need to learn to honor, and so that we teach the next generation to do the same. So the lesson this morning is pretty simple. We need to honor the memory of our fallen heroes by the way we live. Solomon said, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." You say, "Jack, there's a lot of problems in this nation." 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, "When my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Is that what we want to happen? What this nation needs most is not flags. What this nation needs most is Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to live in a way that will lift up this nation. This nation was founded on Jesus Christ. Check it out. Over half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were ordained ministers. There are 12 ordained ministers whose statues are standing currently in the Capitol building. There are over 50 locations where you can find the Ten Commandments sculpted or painted in the Supreme Court building. If you go to the Library of Congress to see the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution behind plexiglass, you are standing on a mosaic, the whole floor of the Ten Commandments. If you go to the Washington Monument up at the top where you can't reach, okay, where they can't scrape it off, there is an aluminum pyramid with two words scribed in it, Laus Dei, Latin for praise God. Okay? The Bible is quoted more in the over 15,000 writings that we have of American, founding fathers. We have over 15,000 documents of theirs, and the Bible is quoted more than the next seven sources combined. There have been over 1,500 declarations of national prayer, 300 of which have come from religious sources, over 1,200 have come from government sources. There are two signatures at the bottom of the Bill of Rights. One was then President John Adams, and the other one was then President of the Senate, Reverend Mallenberg. Patrick Henry rode his horse to the home of Reverend Jonas Clark, who rang his church bell and called the assembled militia. He then rode on to other churches where they did the same thing. Almost the entire colonial militia was assembled by ministers at churches. How come they don't teach us that in school? They're trying to take Jesus Christ out of the history of this nation. We need to return it. And we do that by us loving one another and loving our neighbors into Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do more important for this nation than live for Jesus and tell others how amazing he is. That's got to come first. Sorry, had to preach. Now, what debt do we have to the men and women who've given their lives to protect ours? Live in a way that honors what they did. Can you imagine living dishonorably for people that honorably gave their lives for you? You can't do that. Well, we can, but you ought not to do that. What can we do to better honor their sacrifice? Live for Jesus. This nation is in desperate need of Jesus Christ. They don't know. They know. There's people out there that don't know Jesus walked on water. They don't know he healed the sick and raised the dead. They don't know he stood on a mountain and glowed like the sun. They don't know he raised Lazarus from the dead. They don't know any of those. Tell them of Jesus so that they will want to follow him. Live for him so that they will want to listen. By this will all men know you're my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 35. Now, how can our lives honor or dishonor them? There's things on Facebook that ought to just be flushed. It's just filthy. And it's not just there. It's on the 6 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news. There's behavior all over this country that ought not to be so. Do not dishonor their service by a dishonorable life. You show love, you show kindness. We honor them. How are we going to instill in our children a sense of honor for the fallen? They have got to see it in us. Okay, tomorrow is not the beginning of barbecue season. Tomorrow is Memorial Day for those who have given their lives to give us freedom. I know it's not in the Bible, but that's as good a time as any to honor them. Christmas isn't in there either. Okay? Now, how can we better honor those who have shared Jesus? You see, not just the fallen, but just as soldiers saved our lives physically, did others save our lives spiritually? Well, we were down this, I don't know if y'all knew, on Monday morning, we got a phone call. I woke up and I said, "Honey, I feel like Uncle Jess passed away." And about an hour later, I got a phone call. Uncle Jess passed away. About the time I woke up and thought he passed away. Weird. Okay. Anyway, we went down to Tennessee and I did a funeral down there. And then when the funeral was over, 12 of her cousins, 14, I guess, of us got together. She and her sister, and anyway, 14 of us got together at a Cracker Barrel, and we sat and occupied a bunch of tables for one great big long table for a couple of hours, and some poor lady lost out on a bunch of tips, but she did all right from us. But anyway, we occupied those for a couple of hours. We just talked and shared. But we shared also about service, but not just physical service, spiritual service. While we were at the funeral, Milo came up. That's Kathy's mom's first cousin. He told us a story about Frank. I don't know if you remember, 4 or 5 years ago on a Sunday, on a Wednesday evening, a guy named Frank Webb showed up here. Well, his uncle, Frank Webb, taught Jeb and Ernest about Jesus. And Jeb and Ernest became Christians. They were baptized into Christ. Well, Ernest married Kathy's mom's baby sister. And Ernest and Francis, and she became a Christian. And then Ernest and Francis came over to Billy's house, and they taught Billy and Mabel, and Billy was baptized into Christ. And Billy and Mabel then had a little girl named Kathy, and I married her. And none of that would have happened if Frank had not taught Jeb and Ernest about Jesus and baptized them into Christ. And that wouldn't have happened if they had not taught Francis, and she had not taught her brother. And they, see what I'm saying? Are we indebted just to the soldiers who gave their lives for us, or are we also indebted to those who carried the gospel message? I'm so indebted to those who brought the message of Jesus to me and to my loved ones. Well, what can I do about it? How can we help you? If we are indebted to all those who have carried the message to us, if we are indebted to all those who have given, what can I do? Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Jesus never wanted to be done walking and talking and serving and loving on the earth. He wants to continue doing that in our lives. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 finishes off with this thought: the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The purpose of the church is to let Jesus keep on living on the earth in you, in me. That's why we're here. That's why when you're baptized into Christ, you didn't just get snatched up into heaven. Because God still wants to live on the earth. He wants to do it through us. Are we letting him do that? Can we help you do that? If you've not yet been born in Christ, you can't help somebody else have what you don't have. But if you are willing to die to yourself and be born in Christ, you can then encourage others to do the same. Okay? Todd would like to have another little brother, little sister. Okay? He's right now he's our youngest one here. Okay? If you are willing to die to yourself and be born in Christ, you can be a child of God. If you've already done that and you need us praying with you about something, if you've not been living in a way that honors those who brought you to Christ, those who taught the gospel to your loved ones, if you've not lived in a way that honors those who've given their lives physically for you or risked them for you in battle, if there's something we can do to pray with you, to encourage you to be the person God wants you to be, to live for Jesus, won't you please come while we stand and while we sing?